time for the North Shore Sports Desk on MSO News Sports. We bring you the latest in high school sports news from all across the North Shore. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by the Cape Ann Savings Bank and Moynihan Lumber. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
North Shore Sports Desk, what's going on, everybody? Dom Nicastro here. We are a weekly show on MSONewsSports.com talking about all things North Shore. We are in October officially. This is the grind. This is where we separate the contenders and the pretenders. You know, it's that full month. I mean, golf postseason starts this month. Football will finish up its 4 weeks of the regular season, basically the last half. And then we'll get into November playoff time. So that is going to be a fun month. But this is the grind. This is the middle of the season. And we'll get through it and then get to the postseason. So we're looking forward to that. Speaking of postseason, a little postseason MLB baseball on right now. You can't beat it. Red Sox are in. At the time of this recording, they're about an hour away from start time against the Yanks in the Bronx. Can't wait. See that. But for now, we're going to thank our sponsors, Moynihan Lumber, Student Athlete of the Month. We look forward to getting the September winners soon enough as we closed out the month here. And then Cape Ann Savings Bank, who does the Student Athlete of the Week, that is going to be featured today. Gloucester gets their first athlete, and we're looking forward to talking to that winner. And then we got Beverly football coach Jeff Hutton. Beverly is one of many, many Northeastern Conference teams in football that are just doing so well. So we'll get to the guests. And then we'll do a little recap. And then at the end, we'll kind of go around and look at some postseason MIAA power rankings, see who's stacking up where. So stay with us. First interview will be our Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Week.
At Moynihan Lumber, we know that professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do it because Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps, and burgers. Specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids' meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out, and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
North Shore Sports Desk back at it with our latest guest. It's going to be our latest Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Week. We're going to Gloucester for the first time this school year. It's going to be Keegan Jewell, Gloucester Field Hockey. What's going on, Keegan?
What's up?
Not much. Congrats. Being the first winner for the Gloucester school year must feel pretty good.
Yes, definitely.
Yep. Lots of shutouts, 41 in the career. And how many this season again in the field hockey nets?
Six. This year.
How many games have you had?
Nine.
Okay. So literally, like, basically all shutouts this year.
Yeah.
Tell me about the other three. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued about the other three games. Like, who scored on you?
So one of the games, it was our season opener. We played Beverly. Wasn't our best game for sure. We lost 3-2, which wasn't my best game. Was my team's best game overall. We weren't playing the best that we should have. But we definitely bounced back. We just beat them last week 3-0. So
nice.
That definitely felt good. We tied Masco. They're definitely a top contender in our conference. We tied them 2-2. They're a pretty good team. So
yeah,
always expect that from them. And then we played Swampscott. It was just a little fluke goal, you know. I wasn't getting a lot of shots, and they just happened to be in the circle, and it was a tip in. So
you're like, hey, what are you doing here? You know?
Yeah.
One of those games where they just kind of broke through. Does that happen as a goalie? You know, is there a tendency, something you have to watch for, to kind of fall asleep a little bit if your team is doing so good and keeping it in the other end? Like, how do you stay like focused?
I just try to stay in the game, you know, pay attention, see what's happening. And obviously it's sometimes hard when I'm not really getting a lot of shots in the game, but it's definitely fun when you're getting a lot of shots, and sometimes relaxing when you don't get a lot of shots. But I've been getting a good mix of shots and stuff. So definitely just staying in the game and paying attention to what's happening.
Yeah. And then you can also like catch up on social media if you know, during the game, right? You know, to keep your mind occupied. No. But the Fishermen this year, obviously another great start. You know, I looked at the rankings today at the time of this interview, Tuesday. You guys are top 10, it looks like, in your division. So things are going as usual, you know, as planned. You know, speaking about the program as a whole, you're a senior now, so you've been in the program. Is it 4 years now?
Yes, 4 years. Yeah.
So you have a really good sense of what makes this program tick. Why is it so good every year?
I think, honestly, like, our program we build since they're little. Every year we do an annual mini camp. So we're really just trying to get girls involved and grow a program and have a big program, because a lot of programs don't have depth, which I think is a really good key to us, is that we have a lot of depth, a lot of grades. We have seniors, freshmen, sophomores, like, all playing. So that's definitely a key for us.
Yeah. Do you have some freshmen in the mix getting some regular time this year?
We have a few. More and more so sophomores. Yeah. We have a lot of sophomores playing.
So the sophomores are contributing real stuff, like real time. Yeah. Awesome. And, you know, you have the best view of the team, of course. You know, you might be biased, but what would be a strength so far for the Fishermen? We're at the halfway point. Is it, you know, speed? Is it aggression? Like, what's Gloucester's sort of thing this year for the 2025 edition?
I just think that we have a lot of different type of players. We have a lot of people that are aggressive. We have people that are good at certain skills that when we all come together, it kind of all works out. And we're kind of a newer team. My sophomore year, we did have 10 seniors graduate. So my junior year was more of like a rebuild, but now it's like, we don't really have any excuses. It's kind of show up and put all that you have out there.
Yeah. And of course, Coach Lauren Riley Gold, we were talking off air. She's been a mainstay and, you know, longtime coach now. I was in my early journalism days, I was Gloucester Daily Times sports editor, and I think I covered her like as a player and her sisters, you know, because they were so good, all of them. And then she got her dad. So, like, what's it like to play in her program, and what does she expect out of you guys? Like, what's her main messages that she's constantly driving each practice, each game?
I think definitely show up and be ready to play all the time at practice. Show up, be there, be ready. We have business to do. We have stuff to figure out, and really just show up and be ready and have everything ready to go.
Yeah. Kind of no excuses for like not knowing something or not being in a spot when she calls a play, that kind of thing. You're supposed to be on that corner. What happened? You know, or stuff like that. She'll get on you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about goalie wise? You know, is there a lot of individual coaching with the goalie? Do you have like an actual goalie coach?
I don't have a goalie coach. I've never really had a goalie coach. I actually, my eighth grade, I started playing out on the field, and I was just like, let me try goalie. So it was kind of just spur of the moment, just started playing goalie. But I got a lot of the sense from like hockey and just like being an athlete in general, just like knowing what to do and how to play.
Yeah. Are you a goalie across the board, all the sports?
No, I used to be hockey goalie, but I'm not anymore. I play defense. Okay.
And not lacrosse?
Not lacrosse. I used to in lacrosse, but not anymore either.
Huh. Do you ever get that urge to get out there in the field hockey field like you do in hockey and lacrosse?
I think definitely. Hockey, I play a lot of offense and defense. I'm a very offensive defenseman. So you know, going from that and being so in the game, and the games where I don't get a lot of shots, it's kind of like, I wish I was up there playing with them. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Sometimes, sometimes I think about it, but I like being goalie, you know, I think it's,
Is there an official backup goalie on the team?
There is, Alina Brown. She is the backup goalie, but a lot of the time I'm in net. I haven't really missed any games in my career. So
yeah. Do you two kind of, Like would she be wearing like pads during a game, or does she play regular part of the field, and then in case something happens, she goes in net kind of thing?
She's the junior varsity goalie. Oh, so,
okay, gotcha. Yeah, right.
She plays for that. That's where she usually gets her playing time, and then she's usually at all of our varsity games, but not necessarily like dressed. Obviously, something happens, she would get ready and go in. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but if something happened, knock on wood, like in the middle of a game, someone would just have to step up. Like, all right, coach, I'll do it. You know, that like that kind of thing. Because the JVs are playing somewhere else, or they're not with you, right?
Yeah, usually JV plays after us, so she's usually there.
She would be there. She would be there. Yeah, okay,
it's usually back to back. So
nice. All right. Well, the great signs of improvement for you guys with the Beverly win, turning around an earlier loss. That's awesome.
Yes.
In the second half of the season, is there a team you're really targeting? Maybe some team that's kind of had the edge on you in past years throughout your career. Someone you really want to get.
Definitely. We play Masco our last game, so it'll give us a whole season to really get ready and settle in. So that'll definitely be one of our interesting games that we play. Definitely interested to play Manchester. We played them last year, so I feel like it'll be a good game. And I'm just a lot of people that I know on that team. So, yeah.
Yeah. And do you know them through like off season field hockey stuff?
Yeah. Like off season, other sports, like stuff like that. But yeah.
Yeah. And that's, and they hold their own, right? In Division 4. And you guys are Division 3, correct?
Yes.
And North Shore wise, like Linfield is like a game ahead of you at the time of these rankings. St. Mary's is a few games back. Northeastern Conference wise, Swampscott's in there, but they're 24, so they're way down. And then Danvers is 3-4-1 at 32. So you guys basically are the top, you know, sort of Division III team in the Northeastern Conference. But you get to play, obviously, Beverly. They're a higher division. Masco's a higher division. So that must be great when it comes to the tournament. You guys are getting ready, facing tougher competition for higher divisions.
Yeah, definitely. We also play Bishop Fenwick and Malden Catholic. So just give us a good idea of like what to expect out of the conference and other teams that we would play.
Yeah, did you play them already, those teams?
We played Bishop Fenwick earlier in the season. I think we won 4-0, and then we play Malden Catholic for the first time tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, good luck on that one. Do you know how they're doing overall? Poked around a little bit?
I think they're doing pretty well. I haven't really dove into like how well they're doing standing-wise, but I think they're doing pretty good.
Well, I'm going to call up the rankings right now, and let's see. Look at that. They're undefeated at the unless they had a game today and lost. They're 15 seed in Division 1, 6-0-3. So you're facing a Division 1 team. That's pretty cool. Throughout your career, has there been a team that you put way above the rest, like a non-league game, a tournament game? Was there a team that was just like, wow, this team is good?
I think my sophomore year we played Central Catholic. They're just a good school, private school. They're pretty good. I think we lost that game, but definitely like had some talent along with Newburyport. We played them my freshman and my sophomore year in the tournament. But yes, they definitely have a good program.
They're always good. Yeah.
Yes.
Looking ahead past all your sports, is there a future for you college wise, sports wise, do you think at this moment?
In college, I want to go into medicine. I want to be an anesthesiologist. So I have a lot on my plate with that. Sports wise in college, I haven't really thought so much about it. If it comes to me, maybe, but I haven't really been seeking that.
Yeah. In college wise, do you have any at the top of your list? Have you already applied? Have you already targeted a couple?
I have a few targets, some around here, some. I like University of Wisconsin. I think that's a really good atmosphere. But definitely somewhere colder. I don't like the heat very much. So somewhere around here, New England or...
I'm with you on farther. That. That's you yes. must love this time of year where it's time. In fact, Keegan Jules here, by the way, Gloucester Fiolaki, Cape Ann Savings Bank student athlete of the week. I hate when I go outside and it's still hot. I'm like, that's enough. It's fall. Come on. I want to be like
yes.
a sweatshirt.
Yes. yes.
I'm with you 100% on that. So Wisconsin, you fit in perfectly. I mean,
yeah.
No, nah, my wife and I, they always say like, oh, we're going to retire to Florida. I'm like, no, I'm going to retire to like Greenland or something or Iceland, you know,
yeah,
where it's cold. But so next up is ice hockey. I want to say the Fishermen had a good season last year. Is that correct for ice hockey?
Yeah, we did pretty well. I forget what our record is, but we did pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. How's it look this year? Do you have a lot of the field hockey girls that carry over or other sports, soccer?
I have two or three teammates that play field hockey that I'm going to play hockey with this year. We only lost one senior, so it's pretty much the same team as last year. So definitely looking forward to giving another shot and having that same chemistry that we had last year.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, too, you mentioned a career path of an anesthesiologist. That's a very specific path.
Yes.
Tell me the choice, like the reasons behind that one. How did that all come to play?
Definitely growing up, I liked science, math. Those were more of my things that I was stronger in school. English and history, they're not my favorite, but I like more science and math. So definitely was thinking something more in that field. And I don't know. I have an aunt who's like a radiologist. So I've like seen in the hospital and stuff like that. So definitely something helping people wise, I'm very interested in. And I don't know. I just like very specific. And I just thought it was something interesting that a lot of people don't think about is like very important in the medical field, but it's definitely something that's very important.
Oh, yeah.
Surgery and stuff. Yes.
Yeah. It's like you're always there. You have to be on watch and on call, you know, and you're the last person they see before they, you know, go under the knife. Right?
Yeah.
For the most part. Right. Yeah. Keegan, will be the last person I see before I get my surgery. So that's the, that's what's going to happen in your future. And how does that work in terms of college, like the undergrad? Is it, you know, does it start right away with classes, like biology kind of classes, and then you move ahead to like medical school after the undergrad? Is that kind of like the general?
Yeah. You like major in bio, pre-med, whatever, and undergrad, and then you move on to medical school, which is like more specific for that. And then like internships and stuff after
residencies
that.
Yes, and certifications, a long path.
yes.
You know, it's funny, like I was in the world of like healthcare journalism, too. And, you know, one doctor at a conference said, you know, the reason why we're kind of stubborn and, you know, a little bit on the arrogant side is because the system has built us to be perfect. We cannot fail or we wouldn't be here because we had to go through so much school, so much residency, so much tests, so much certification that we were like, aced it. And whenever someone tries to tell us we're not doing our job well, we get upset. Because we work so hard to be here, you know, kind of summed up the clinician world a little bit for me. Oh, that's why they're cranky all the time. But that's awesome. So you said you have a family member that's in the medical field?
Yes, my aunt is a radiologist and like takes x-rays and stuff. So.
Oh, nice. In the local hospital, like North Shore wise or?
Yeah, Beverly and at Addison.
Oh, cool. Both. Very cool. And I got to say, the last name. Was very popular, hockey wise, in Gloucester history. Who connect me to the Jewels of the 90s? Where do you fit in that?
So my dad is Michael Jewell, and his brothers are Chris, David, and Jeremy.
Okay, that's right.
Yes.
And Jeremy, I think, was the state champ in 93, correct, Uncle Jeremy?
Yes, I think so.
Yes. And was his nickname Elmo?
Yes.
Okay. Elmo.
Yes, he goes by Elmo.
Okay. So this, you know, listen to this. My claim to fame in hockey, well, I was a baseball guy, never, you know, floor hockey at the Cape Ann YMCA. I actually shut out a team that had your uncle on it. And that was the peak of my sports career. Because he was an awesome hockey player, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I figured that out somehow. But no, that was a special team. So 93, they won it. That was their first state title. And then, so that would be, geez, that would be seven, like 32 years ago. And here you are ripping it up as a goalie. That is awesome. Do you have any brothers and sisters that are also athletes?
I have an older brother, Colby Jewell. He graduated in 2024. He played hockey and lacrosse.
Okay. Did he win this award? I want to say, I don't know. Would he?
I don't think he did, no.
Okay. Ooh, Colby, Keegan's better than you. No. what's he up to now?
So he was supposed to go to New England College, but he decided not to. He's really just taking a gap year to figure it out.
Yeah, and, nice.
Yeah.
Well, he's got some plenty of time. Yes. With AI and everything, you don't even need college anymore.
Yes.
No, just kidding. It's good to go. I'm looking up real quick to see if he won. I should have did this beforehand, but Cape Ann City, Jules hat trick. He got a hat trick in December 2023. That's amazing. Yes. So you were, he was in high school when you were, so you were like girls games, boys, and he had his games. How much older is he? A couple of grades or one grade?
He's two grades above me. Two grades.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like while he was getting his hat trick, you were probably a sophomore. I got it. Captain, too. Are you a captain for field hockey?
Yeah, I've been a captain for field hockey since my junior year, so this is my second year.
Oh, that's sweet. That tells you something, to name a junior a captain. That's pretty special. What do you feel is the role of the captain, you know, ultimately?
I think definitely just being a leader, showing them. You know, with a lot of young team, it's very like hard because a lot of the sometimes they get distracted. They don't really know what's at worth because I've been in that position in a tournament. I've been under the stress level. So definitely showing them that to me, it's not a joke. And I want them to be there as much as I want to be there. And really just showing them that this isn't a joke when we come out and play and just really show that you have to want it and you have to want to be here.
Yeah. Awesome. And also be like a confidant, so to speak, to like the younger girls. Like, you know, do you feel like they can confide in you a little bit? Maybe they're afraid to approach the coach. Does that ever happen? Those kind of things?
Yeah. A lot of the time, if they have a problem or want something changed, they come to me and I think it's a good idea. I'll tell a coach, but sometimes I'll just be like, guys, I don't know if that would work out.
You're a filter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lauren's not going to go for that guy. It's not going to happen. All right. Well, awesome. Lastly, you know, outside of academics, outside of athletics, you know, tell me something we don't know about you, like a summer job. Do you work in the summer to put some money in your pocket?
A lot of the time I was playing field hockey. I'm on a club hockey team as well. So my summer is usually filled with field hockey workouts in the day and then field hockey games at night with hockey tournaments. So my summers are usually a lot of sports. So
so you have someone else financing the life of Keegan Jewell. Okay. Yes. I get it. All right. I'm with you. I have a son. all right. Keegan Jewell, Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Week, the first from Gloucester. You were awesome in the net and on the Zoom. So thank you for being great in both arenas and best of luck with the Fishermen down the road. And we'll watch the season and we'll watch the other two sports too. Thank you. Very good senior year.
Thank you so much.
Have a good night.
I'm Marianne Smith, president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank. We are proud to sponsor the Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Year. Whether it's football, field hockey, tennis, soccer, or any other sport, when a student athlete strives for excellence, it inspires the whole community. The team at Cape Ann Savings Bank in Gloucester, Rockport, and Manchester-by-the-Sea always give their best, and we're happy to honor the student athletes and good sports who do too.
Cape Ann Savings Bank, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
This is Bob Montgomery, and when hunger calls, North Shore residents must pay a visit to the New Brothers Deli in downtown Danvers. They're open daily for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They have everything from eggs to meat to fish, and it's all made from scratch with the finest fresh ingredients. New Brothers Deli has specials that are sure to fill you up and satisfy. Kenny and Carrie invite you to visit the New Brothers Restaurant and Deli at 31 Maple Street in the middle of downtown Danvers. Call 978-750-0100 for more information.
Did you know that professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States? If you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, come to Moynihan Lumber to check out the Anderson Woodright Replacement Window, which can add considerable value to any home. You can see all the Anderson windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. Or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com. That's MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
North Shore Sports Desk, Dominic Castro. We are back at it. Our next guest is going to be Beverly football coach Jeff Hutton. What's going on, coach?
Hey, how are you, Dom? Thanks for having me tonight.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on. I'll tell you, Jeff, I got to start. I mean, we're here to talk about Beverly football, but I also want to talk about Northeastern Conference football. I feel this is one of like the hottest starts for several teams at once. I mean, there's undefeated teams, there's teams that are getting big wins, you guys included. What are the signals you're seeing out there in the early going?
Well, I just think that, you know, North Shore football isn't terrible right now. Like, and I think you're getting a lot of good, like every team right now has their, what they would probably say, their senior class, right? Like Masco, this is their senior group, you know? Marblehead had their senior group last year with 27, but they're still undefeated. So I guess they've got another senior group. You know? Danvers, they got a good senior class. You know, we only have 13 seniors, but like they were good when they were freshmen. And this has been what, you know, the kids think that they have a chance, you know? So I feel like it's like everyone is having like a really good senior group that's been building to this point.
Yeah, 100%. And the early going is all about showing the NEC's muscle, you know, against other conferences. You guys certainly did that. And then some last week with a scintillating, that's the word that comes to mind, 41-40 win over Wakefield. Take me to that game and just kind of the end and how you guys pulled it off.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, like we coming into that game, watching their film, we knew that they were going to be tough. They were a really good team, you know, and they had a great running back. And surprise, surprise, we were like, look, if we can corral, you know, Fullerton was his name. If we can force them to pass, like, I think that bodes well for us until they did pass the ball. And then they were finding open receivers all over the place. I mean, the kid threw for 220 or 215 yards, whatever. Like, that was completely unexpected, but like good on their part to exploit things that we were doing bad in the game. But back and forth, and you get to the point, you know, like who's going to make one stop?
Yeah.
And then nobody punted. Like we lined up to punt, but we threw a 40-yard pass on a fake punt.
Yeah.
And one stop on fourth down was us in that fourth quarter. And that was the only time anyone ever was in peril, other than we each threw a pick. So it canceled those out on back-to-back plays, go figure.
Right. Right. And, you know, the team has shown it can win in many ways. I mean, the easy, comfortable 42-7 win over Revere. And before that, it was 28-26, you know, with Haverhill.
Let me cut you off real quick. It looked comfortable on box score, but that Revere game was very stressful for the first quarter. We were down 7-0.
Okay.
And then we scored right at the end of the quarter, but we had it taken off the board because one of our guys was moving before the snap. So we were losing 7-6 at one point because we missed an extra point. And then it was like, all right, you guys, are you ready? Are you settled? And then it just kind of turned out for the better for us.
Yeah, 100%. Let's talk about the captains. Who's the captains this year and what do they bring?
So I'll just name them real quick. So we have four captains this year. We have by numerical order, we have Sean Costa, we have Cal McKay, Danny Pierce, and Alex Marquez. Danny Pierce is the name everyone probably knows. He's been a you know, he was their starter every game last year. He started four games as a sophomore and has really kind of come into his own these last couple of weeks. Sean Costa has been a two-year starter for us, and he dabbled a little bit as a sophomore at running back. Plays, like I said, tailback and safety. Cal McKay has actually been a three-year starter. He's started at receiver 2 years in a row. He's our tight end now. And we flex him out in some of our spread packages as well. But he's also a starting outside linebacker for us. And Alex Marquez was a starting two-way player for us last year. And because of some depth we've built, he only has to start on defense. And actually against Revere, we had an injury. We had a kid out. Our starting quick tackle was out because he was sick. So Marquez was able to slide right in. And luckily, we were able to play a sophomore at defense. So, and now we had everybody healthy for last week and this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And this week, big one, hosting Danvers, 6 o'clock on a Friday night. That is a big one, obviously. The Falcons at 4-0. You guys coming in at 3-1, but I think first official conference game in your division for each of you. What are the challenges the Falcons are bringing this year?
I mean, the rival, right? Danvers has become a pretty good rival. I mean, I started coaching in 2000, and that's their neighbor, right? Like Salem is the one that's the game. Yeah. But Danvers being your next door neighbor, that's another big rival, right? They're good. It's a really good football team. Coach Nolan does a great job. They're sound on defense always, and they figured out how to run that double tight double wing really well. You know, they were getting better with it last year. They had a great running back. I think it was Owen Shanbor. Am I pronouncing his name right? Like, he was a great running back. He was in the Shriners game. They may not have a running back like that, but when you got guys that can push and they're unselfish and like they have up front, like you can put anybody back there, I feel. But then I say that the kid went for four touchdowns last week, you know, and he's only a sophomore. So it's like, is this game? We're going to have to see this guy for the next 3 years too,
if, right.
Figures it out, you know, but it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And if you don't play unselfish and you try to start peeking in the backfield, like I think Redding got caught a couple times and next thing you know, the dude's running 60 yards right up the middle. So you got to be assignment sound. You got to read your keys and you can't get caught peeking.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, you guys are obviously putting up a lot of points. Is there some themes that are emerging with the offense that, you know, this particular area is stronger, that player has been consistent, or has it been a little diverse? You're getting contributions from a lot of places.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we came into the season with a heavy, RPO-based offense, and it just kind of didn't come to fruition like I wanted it to. And we kind of went back. We have a decent offensive line with some experience, and we've got more backs this year than we've had in the past. So we kind of went back to a pistol, like downhill running, like pistol wing tee. And our first game, we focused on that against Haverhill. We ran for almost 270 yards, you know. And then Revere did a decent job of slowing us down, but we still ran for 170 as a team. But we threw for over 200 yards, right? Last week, we were able to run for 150, 160, and throw for over 240. So I think we're finding that balance where we can run the ball, we can pass the ball when we need to. And then, you know, I those kids are coming into their own. And I think Danny is doing an excellent job with the change in what we've done on offense. And I think the kids are believing in what we're doing. And they see that, hey, we can run the ball, we can throw the ball. And I still don't feel like we've played a full game yet, you know, and I'm sure all coaches think the same thing.
Right. You're trying to just constantly massage and tweak and see if this sticks, see if that sticks. But yeah, coach, you know, like you're trying to tweak things and everything. But I think the big story here is, like you said, the belief in the team. I mean, this team is working its way towards, you know, such a successful first half, already fashioned some. Hold on. Coach, I think one of the big differences, you know, in years past, I mean, you know, the culture is shifting right now, it seems, towards, you know, these kids are really believing in themselves. They have a lot of confidence. They're having a huge out-of-league wins like Wakefield. And now they get an opportunity to start strong in the conference. you know, is there something noticeable in change with mentality? Sometimes it might not be. I mean, years past, even though this, you know, there weren't 500 seasons, the kids might have had great attitudes no matter what. You tell me, like, is there a noticeable difference in the confidence level?
Our number one thing that we always focus on is the culture, right? Like the way we do things. And sometimes it doesn't show up in the wins and loss column, but kids behaving the way they're supposed to in school, right? Practicing the way they're supposed to practice, right? They've really bought in. And, you know, these things don't happen overnight unless you have 100 plus kids and you're marrying into like these private schools or these other big schools, you know, like it takes time to develop your culture as a coach, right? And how you want it to be run. And I'm just lucky that we've had a good group of seniors, the captains. I've had them and they bought in a while ago. And I just feel bad that they haven't had the success until now. Like they're good kids. They work their butts off. You wish more success for groups like this, you know, like they earned the right to be successful. As we always say, nothing's going to be given to you. You have to earn it. Right. But they've earned that right to now, you know, to deserve it. So that's the one thing. And that's the culture should win out over everything anyway. And that's the one thing we focus on. We start the first week of practice. Before every practice, we go through all of our different pillars in our pyramid, like what's important, you know, this is what it looks like here. And our kids have really bought into it. You know, they correct themselves at practice, you know, they call each other out when they're supposed to in the right way, you know, not like the bad way or the wrong way where you put a kid on spot, but like, you know, we've taken the time to develop that. You know, we started a leadership council my second year as the head coach. We have the seniors. We got a couple representatives from each class that they feel are the most influential. And we meet once a month in the morning. I feed them breakfast. We go over topics. I give them scenarios. And, you know, they feel bought in. They feel a part of this whole, I don't want to call it a turnaround, but it kind of is. You know, We were 1-7 through the regular season last year. We're already 3-1. And so those little things have finally, I think, caught up to, you know, and talent helps, right? We got some guys now. You know, our young kids that were getting beat up on the offensive line are now bigger, more confident. You know, we got some young kids that are playing some skill positions. And I think that's a really good mix right now. So all of that, culture number one, having some talent, and then, like you said, and the confidence in what we're doing, it completely matters.
Yeah, and it's been great to see this resurgence. You know, you throw Beverly in the mix. I feel like that's a healthy Northeastern Conference. You know, when Beverly is competitive, I mean, it just changes the game. I mean, you had Marblehead at the top for many years. They're already 4-0. You know, so they're still up there. But Masco is in the mix now. Danvers, I mean, so this three game stretch is like the season. Stayed in the obvious.
Yeah, you know. Well, it's funny. I was flipped through on these like coaches that I follow, like on Twitter and all that stuff. And it must be some coach down in Florida, some big time high school, and kind of alluding to what you just said. They asked them about like the next couple games, and he's like, "I feel we can beat every team we have left." Right, and it's like, I also feel that every team we play can beat us. You know? It's like, what's going to be the deciding factor, you know? And, you know, it's preparation. Like, how do you prepare? Like, are we going to practice like champions, or are we just going to practice the practice? And I think, you know, Danvers coaches are saying the same thing to their guys. Like, what's going to be the difference? You know, we can match up evenly here and there. And like, what's going to be the difference? It's how you prepare for this game, right? And you could say that for every game from here to the end of the season.
Yeah. You expected a big one on Friday night, crowd wise? Gotta be.
Of course. I mean, we had a big crowd with Wakefield, and you know, they didn't bring a lot, but you know, Danvers kids will be there and our kids will be there. And I'm sure the administrators are biting their nails, worried about what could happen. But everyone that went to the game last week was very excited. And they've been talking about it. Like, what an atmosphere. The kids played great. You know, never mind the fact that they saw a pretty exciting high school football game. You know, it was back and forth until the last minute of the game.
Yeah, 100%. Jeff Hutton, Beverly football, big one against Danvers, 6 o'clock Friday night, October 3rd. Then it's Marblehead at home, and then on the road to Masco, and finishing up at Peabody. Four game stretch. October is the middle, the grind of the season. best of luck this month, Coach, and we'll catch up down the road.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good night.
I'm Marianne Smith, president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank. We are proud to sponsor the Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Year. Whether it's football, field hockey, tennis, soccer, or any other sport, when a student athlete strives for excellence, it inspires the whole community. The team at Cape Ann Savings Bank in Gloucester, Rockport, and Manchester by the Sea always give their best, and we're happy to honor the student athletes and good sports who do too.
Cape Ann Savings Bank, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
This is Peter Nicolakopoulos, owner of Pomodori Roast Beef and Pizzeria. Come check out our newest location, Pomodori's in Newburyport at 192 State Street. We have a beautiful restaurant with excellent pizzas, tender roast beef sandwiches, fried haddock and clams, and the best calzones around. We also offer catering for lunch and dinner events. Pomodori has a long history of supporting the local community. Visit our newest Pomodori's in Newburyport. Details at PomodoriPizzeria.com.
If you're looking for a way to cut your energy bills, Moynihan Lumber has a solution. Take a look at a wide selection of energy-efficient Anderson windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
This is Bob Montgomery, and when hunger calls, North Shore residents must pay a visit to the New Brothers Deli in downtown Danvers. They're open daily for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They have everything from eggs to meat to fish, and it's all made from scratch with the finest fresh ingredients. New Brothers Deli has specials that are sure to fill you up and satisfy. Kenny and Carrie invite you to visit the New Brothers Restaurant and Deli at 31 Maple Street in the middle of downtown Danvers. Call 978-750-0100 for more information.
Okay, those were our athletes athlete and coach. We thank them for coming on. We thank the Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Week. The first three are in the books now from each school. So we made it through round one. What's that? Round one of 39, basically. So many winners to get to throughout the school year. It will go all the way through June and then name our winners before you know it. And we'll celebrate at the bank. Get some YouTube videos going. Good stuff all around. We're so looking forward to that. And Jeff Hutton, thanks to him and Beverly. I love to see the Panthers on the upswing. Again, one of many teams, you know, that we talked about in the interview. I mean, Marblehead's undefeated, Masco, Danvers. I mean, there's just a lot will shake out this weekend. Big games coming up. But I'm liking what I'm seeing. Gloucester, I mean, my goodness, undefeated. Breeze through the Catholic takedown. I mean, those 2 weeks, St. Mary's and Fenwick beating those two. Biggest couple of weeks in Daniel Connor's career as the coach, which started in 2019. So kind of reminds me of Vrabel, right? Much success as a player, wanting to emulate that as a coach, and I love it. So let's take a break, and then after the break, we will talk some MIAA postseason rankings.
This is Peter Nicolakopoulos, owner of Pomodori Roast Beef and Pizzeria. Come check out our newest location, Pomodori's in Newburyport at 192 State Street. We have a beautiful restaurant with excellent pizzas, tender roast beef sandwiches, fried haddock and clams, and the best calzones around. We also offer catering for lunch and dinner events. Pomodori has a long history of supporting the local community. Visit our newest Pomodori's in Newburyport. Details at PomodoriPizzeria.com.
If you're planning to replace the windows in your home, look no further than Moynihan Lumber and Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. You can see the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. Or visit us online at MoynihanLumber.com. That's MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Drink and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
What's the matter? You can't follow your favorite high school teams?
Is Masco new to the NEC?
Well, don't worry. We got you covered. It's time for the North Shore Football Report.
What is HW?
Hey, this is all gold, everything he's saying right now.
On the North Shore Sports Desk.
I know absolutely nothing about this.
All right, we're back at it for one more segment. On the North Shore Sports Desk, we're going to do some postseason rankings. Let's go around the horn. Field hockey, you got Newburyport in Division Two, the number 8th ranked team at 8-1-1, very high up. We're going to do something new this year. We're going to only mention top 10. That's right. You got to crack the top 10 to get on the sports desk for now. Anyway, just for this week, Linfield and Gloucester, 8-9. Okay. We'll mention someone out of the top 10. St. Mary's is 11. This is Division Three field hockey. So Linfield, Gloucester, St. Mary's, all having tremendous season so far. Division Four, Manchester Essex is the highest ranked North Shore team at 12. Again, I lied again. We're not going to do top 10. We'll do as much as possible. Football, Division One, your Prepsters, St. John's, 4-0 at the top of it all. And we'll move on to D2 for football. And we got Beverly, you know, number 8 seed. Really strong season so far for the Panthers. I'm so glad we got the coach on the horn. 3-1 at the time of this show. Football Division 3. So we are going to go and see Masconomet at 3-1 as the 12th seed at the moment. D4, best team from the North Shore is Marblehead at 4-0, and Danvers is also 4-0. Marblehead is the 6th seed. Danvers, number 11. Number 5 for divisions, Gloucester, 4 seed. Finished 16 the last two seasons. Now at number 4 at 4-0, right behind defending champ Shawshin Valley, who's also 4-0 in the 3 spot. North Reading grabs 11, and St. Mary's grabs 8. Salem on the outskirts. Well, they would be in if it started today, the Witches, 15 at 2-2. Division 6. Fenwick, with that loss to Gloucester, is still number 3, 1-2. Pawtucket's behind them at 5, 2-1. Linfield at 12 at 1-2. Division 7, Amesbury. Red Hawks are 3-0 at the 3 seed. And Manchester Essex is 2-1 at the 9 seed. And then we'll close it out with Division 8. Lintec would be in the playoffs if it started today. They're 2-1, as would Kip Academy across town. They are 1-3 in the very last seed to make the playoffs if it started today at 16. So how about some boys soccer love? Boys soccer. We'll start with Division 3. And Linfield is 13. That's the best team there. D4, Hamilton Wyndham at 7-1. Matt Garon's team, number 2 seed at the moment. Ipswich at number 12 at 2-4-4. And then we'll quickly look at 5, see if we're not missing anybody. Yeah, Rockport, 4-2-2 at number 3 seed. I can't wait to talk to those guys soon. Maybe get a Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Week out of them. How about Girls Soccer Division 2? We'll go with Masconomet, 7-2, number 9 seed. Division 3, Linfield is the best seed for the North Shore at 6-2 at the moment. Division 4 for girls soccer, Hamilton Wyndham. Great season for the Lady Generals and Boys Generals. This Hamilton Wyndham team, girls, are 7-0-1. Nancy Waddell does a great job with that team. They've won a state title there. And they're 7-0-1 in the number 3 seed. And then finishing with Division 5, do not see anybody in the top 10, but Rockport is 19 at 1-6-1. Volleyball, not much happening there for D1 for the North Shore. D2, again, not much happening. D3, Linfield 7, Newburyport 11, Classical 17, 10-2 Classical. And Division 4, Ipswich sort of dominates everybody. I wonder if they're, well, they're way down at 3-8. What happened to Ipswich? Oh, my goodness. 4-time defending champs, right? 3-8 right now, the 26th seed. See if the Tigers can turn it around. And then 5, closing things out. We got nothing really to report there. So there's your rankings, the very latest. You're listening to this on your Thursday, and the rankings come out Tuesdays and Fridays. So tomorrow will be the latest updates, but don't look at football for that because obviously there's a lot of games to consider. Yeah, so that's a big weekend coming up. Thank you for tuning in to the North Shore Sports Desk. Thanks to our sponsors, Moynihan Lumber, Cape Ann Savings Bank, and we keep going. I'm Kelly Media here. Thanks to MSONewsSports.com, Rick Moore, and then Danny Martin producing the show. We're out of here.